We've all heard the term the Fourth Estate, but not everybody is familiar with its origins. In feudal France, all the people were divided into one of three estates of the realm. First, you had the clergy, and then there was the aristocracy. Finally, there was everybody else who was lumped into the third estate. Three groups of people to contend with, three estates of the realm comprising political life. Then we had the invention of the printing press and the rise of political media. So things changed. Journalism started happening. But journalists weren't just observers and chroniclers of the passing scene. They were also political players in their own right. They were a fourth estate of the realm. And, you know, pretty quickly came to be seen as part of political life. And as it was with France on the eve of its own revolution, so it has always been in New Zealand. And as long as there has been organised politics in New Zealand, since the coming of the crown, there has been a pretty vocal and influential fourth estate. Within conservatism, we sometimes have a persecution complex about the media. And, you know, when we talk about media bias, we're often in danger of feeding into that complex. So it's really important that we're really clear on what we're meaning here. So people get confused on this point, and so we should clarify that when we're talking about media bias, we're not talking about people who are paid to be opinion givers, such as Mike Hosking or Duncan Garner, or even people like myself who are known quantities. There is actually a good balance of that currently, and even if it doesn't feel like it all the time, most of the mainstream views in New Zealand get a degree of patronage, and there's a real effort to try and find some semblance of balance in the commentary space. But when we talk about media bias, we tend to be talking more expressly about the slant of those who consider themselves to be just reporting the facts, what's sometimes called hard news. Now, as conservatives or centre-right people, we perceive that on the whole, that element of the news, that supposedly straight, hard, no-opinion news, is biased against us. Or rather that it's reported in a way that is unfair to our position. And in important ways, that's actually true. That's not something that's just in our imaginations. But equally, the hard left perceive the media to be biased against them, and they're actually correct as well. True leftists have always hated the media because they consider it to embody or to represent the bourgeois liberalism of what we sometimes call champagne socialism. They consider that their own sensibilities are not represented well in the media. That's because really the media bias that does exist out there in the world is a tendency towards a pretty narrow worldview. It's the liberalism of senior lecturers and public sector employees in Wellington, and other people who are generally kind of well-heeled. The media isn't out to get national per se. I'm lucky enough to do a bit of media work here and there, and almost without exception, the people I deal with are fair and open-minded in their dealings with me. They genuinely want me on because they want to understand what I have to say and think that they want to represent that side of things. And this especially goes for really experienced and seasoned producers and editors. Though, as with a lot of these things these days, the younger cohort in those areas or those fields tend to be a lot less tolerant of dissent or different views than their elders were. They're much less likely to admit that there is a different and acceptable, legitimate point of view. What is true of everybody who sort of works in the media, not everybody, sorry, it's a sweeping generalisation, but with many, is that they do inhabit a certain milieu that means that they very rarely come into contact on any sustained basis with people like us. That is to say, New Zealanders who choose to live and work in what is euphemistically called the regions, but which I personally prefer to call the provinces. There are plenty of journalists you'll find who come from the provinces, but very few of them tend to be the type of people who liked it or will admit to that. And very often, you know, they will tend to say, if they've been candid, that they were very keen to get out of there. That's very different from somebody like me who chooses to live in the provinces. Now, as I say, these are all generalizations and there are always going to be exceptions to those, but this is the type of thing that I believe generally holds. So since the greater part of national strength sits out here in the country, there's inevitably going to be a sort of difference of worldview between us and media that tends to be concentrated in the main centres, and Auckland and Wellington especially. So just think about it. If you live in a liberal city, have liberal neighbours, send your kids to schools where all the other parents are liberals, and you work in an environment that is in fact nearly all liberal, and all talk around the smoko table is liberal, how is your starting point on politics going to be anything other than the assumption that Jacinda Ardern is wonderful? The assumptions of that centre-left Labour Party view are also the default settings for how you see politics if you're a journalist, normatively speaking. So one way in which I think we can see this illustrated is how people are introduced to readers or audiences. I'm lucky enough to occasionally do some media work, and often I'll be paired with somebody who's more left-wing. So I'm the right-wing commentator, they're the left-wing commentator. And if you watch my work, you might have noticed that I'm always introduced as being a right-winger or a conservative or a national supporter, some of which are more true than others, whereas the other guests, my colleague on the left, don't tend to be introduced with such qualifiers. They're often just called political commentators. This isn't any desire. There's no desire here, I think, to undermine me from the start, even if that's sometimes people might assume. I think it's just that it wouldn't occur to the hosts that somebody having generally Labour-aligned views is noteworthy. Fish don't know that they're wet, and libs don't know that they're libs. It's as simple as that. It's comfortable to them. It's not a curious thing. And this does make it harder for conservatives, and it is in fact something that's getting worse. Everybody in New Zealand has issues with their local paper, but the fact is that strong regional publications have always been a good way to expose young reporters who do go on to become editors and producers and other important media, who hold other important and influential media roles, to the rest of the country. So in other words, the decline of those publications does ensure that those who remain are less likely to have much of a clue about what the rest of the country thinks. And so our politics, the way that we see politics, is less likely to be intelligible to them. And so perhaps it does come as no surprise that the decline of the provincial route into journalism has in fact coincided with a younger cohort of journalists who are much more dismissive and intolerant of those of us who have chosen to make our lives out here in the provinces of New Zealand. So what can be done about it? Well, in many ways, I think that media bias is, it's a disease without a cure. It's something that you just have to live with and mitigate rather than eliminate. Well, you can't. And the reality is that in a free country with a free press, you will have tendencies one way or the other. You know, it would be wrong to try to control it. And every now and then somebody will actually suggest that we build an alternative media infrastructure, but the reality is that the barriers to entry are very big in the media world, and the media market is very small. I mean, this is a country that can barely sustain two news channels as it is. Yet, as the philosopher Edmund Burke said, nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing, because he could only do a little. And I think that applies in most situations in life, and it certainly applies here. The bias that we see from liberals in the media is, in my view, largely unconscious. Perhaps not in all cases, but for the most part, it just reflects their backgrounds. They do, however, see themselves as professionals, and that means they have professional pride. If you approach things in the right way, you have a good chance of getting through to them on a case-by-case basis. One thing that you can do that will make a difference is to give honest feedback to the press, with a particular focus on being constructive and recognising when people in the media do things well. The media, people in the media do pay attention to feedback, but there's nothing easier to dismiss than an unhinged email or text message, or God forbid, tweet. At best, you might make the current recipient feel defensive, but it's unlikely that there will be much constructive change from that. Therefore, if you want to write an email to a TV producer or a radio show or send a letter to the editor, I would encourage you to do it, but I suggest that you follow these four simple rules. First, acknowledge that there are multiple sides to the issue. Don't come at them claiming to have the one true view of things. Second, note that they will have note that they've covered one side of it well. Third, ask why the other perspective was not covered or wasn't covered in so much detail. And finally, end on a constructive note. Give them an action point, something that you think they can do next time. So a really effective complaint or comment to someone in the media might be, Dear Radio New Zealand, I acknowledge that the taxation of capital gains is a really complicated issue and I appreciate your efforts to demystify it for me. I was really interested in your story and about why it would be such a fantastic idea and why we should definitely adopt it. However, given that there's a lot of opposition to the tax, I have to say that I found it a bit strange that you didn't have somebody on to make the case against it in any detail. Can I suggest that the next time you do a story on the subject, you get someone like Liam here on the program to give a fair and a reasonable alternative view? I just have to stress it's very important to do that last part, and in particular to make sure that you suggest me. But look, when it comes down to it, like I think you know, people have been complaining about political reporting for as long as it has existed. You know, sometimes the complaints are fair, sometimes the complaints are unfair, and that just reflects the fact that politics is a zero-sum game. It has winners and losers, and people will never really be that happy with where they've ended out. But we have to learn with the fact, I think, as reasonable conservatives, that we will always find the prevailing winds of liberalism to be annoying when we are dealing with the media. The only question is, what do we do about it? Do we curse them and take glee in their commercial anxieties and laugh even as we lose these bedrock institutions from our regional way of life? Or do we try to use reason and goodwill to make them a little bit better or at least a little bit less terrible, as the case may be? I think that the former, you know, may satisfy an urge to tell people off, to let them know what you think, but the second approach just might, from time to time, yield results that are more satisfying in the long run.